Hey Ventures, welcome to another episode of The Venture Maidens. First, I'd like to ask you guys to help us out. You can do this in so many ways, but one of my favorite ways is watching our past streams on our YouTube. You get to see all of our real-life expressions as we go through our journeys that Celeste throws us through. As always, we want to thank the following people: our Patreon donors for getting us to where we are today, Emily Mayo for composing our theme music, and Sirenscape for providing additional ambient music. Now for our sponsor. One of our great sponsors for this week's show is Jeff Stevens Games, producer of best-selling 5th edition adventures and supplements such as Happy Jack's Funhouse. The Painted Man rode into town, tossing candy and small trinkets to the cheering children. The children, whose mouths were stuffed with gumdrops, laughed at his jet black horse adorned with a white saddle festooned with jingle bells. He introduced himself to the town elders as Happy Jack and asked for their permission to set up his attraction in the town square. The elders, seeing the happiness in the children, agreed. Happy Jack brought with him food vendors and a thrill ride, a large painted attraction which manifested from a green and red checkerboard leather satchel after he placed it on the ground. All was fun for 2 days. If this tickles your fancy, be sure to visit jeffstevensgames.com and subscribe to their mailing list for free 5e PDF supplements. But of course, adventures and supplements aren't the only thing that Jeff Stevens Games creates. There's even a talk show called Jeff Talks RPGs available on Twitch, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple products. On the show, Jeff speaks with RPG industry creators and players about topics in the RPG industry. He even interviewed Ed Greenwood. And now, time for the recap. Our heroes make their final preparations and sneak out of the unnamed outpost to escape Whistler's wrath. They get settled in their new super magical chicken hut home and meet and greet the house's disturbing caretaker, a mercurial fae spirit named Gordon. After answering a few rapid-fire questions about their new bounty hunting gig, Rook informs the party that they are headed to the witch-run city of Coven to find work. And that's what happened. Now, I won't hold you here any longer. Let's get into this sweet, sweet adventure.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. To Fairy Town our heroes head, hoping to earn a little bread. But with all these rules to swallow, trouble is sure to follow. Watch your back as we head into Campaign 2, Episode 6, Lost Girls.
Everybody, welcome! Yeah, transition! Hey, hey, everybody, welcome! It's another episode of Venture Maidens! Yay! For those of you who are new, welcome! We are Venture Maidens, an actual play D&D 5th edition campaign set in the homebrew world of the Plains, which is being detailed in the Venture Maidens campaign guide. PDFs for that are coming out January, if I can get my shit together! Bless. Thank you all so much for being here. Wow, episode 6. How are y'all doing? We all excited to get into it?
I think we're all very excited.
Hell yeah. So excited.
Yeah, this might even turn into the first musical episode of Venture Maiden.
If I have my way.
I can't do it. I can't. Thank you, everybody. Yes, my hair is blue. thank you for your kind words. Yeah, damn. Let's just dive in. I'm so fucking excited to see what happens. So, hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Conowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm going to be playing Lovirus Sath, your Drow Rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim, and I'm going to be playing your half-orc fighter, Fitonia Silvertail.
Yes. Sorry.
Sage, go. And I'm Sage. And I guess I'm a part of this podcast.
And Sage is here too.
Fuck, sorry.
My my character's name is Aoife, and she's a satyr bard.
Oh, I'm just getting you into character as an awkward teenager. I'm helping you. I'm the world oppressing you. Oh, man. Well, damn. Happy Feywild time, everybody. Yesterday, the Wild Beyond the Witchlight came out, which is a fey adventure. So fey love is in the air. So we are here. We're here ready to keep it weird, keep it awesome. So, yeah, that's great. No specific content warnings for tonight, though you all should be informed that this is, you know, an R-rated stream. We swear a lot and we're fucking awesome, and you'll see dark themes. Because this ain't your little sister's fae campaign. This is,
no, it ain't, honey.
This is hardcore. This is hardcore shit. So, yep, that's great. Let's do it. Let's dive in. So let's just get into it. So yeah, last time, you all had basically just spent the episode getting away from the unnamed outpost and getting situated now in this animated chicken hut house that Rook apparently won from a fae. And yeah, you had ended up agreeing to be her employees in this bounty hunting business. And she had very rapidly explained a few things to you. Basically, there is this town in the middle of the wilds, which is like our fairy fey wilds, called Coven. And in this town of Coven, it is ruled by a council of witches. And these witches basically ensure that Coven remains sort of a neutral territory. There's a bunch of fairy courts, fairy factions, sovereign courts that are warring with each other and make the rest of the wilds really dangerous. So Coven is this city, this neutral territory, right in the middle of all of this. So right now, you all have gotten situated, packed, you know, settled into your rooms, and you are headed towards Coven to, one, sell the Taconid that you killed, basically, before Rook had explained that to you and was like, okay, we need money now, because basically, it's going to be really expensive bonding you all to the house. It's going to require some stuff, so you're going to go there, hopefully sell this thing to get some money, and pick up a new job. So that is the situation. You all got your rooms, got settled in. You had had a very interesting evening meeting Gordon, learning some rules, getting situated. So we are jumping ahead to that evening, the first night you all are spending in this house here. And before we dive into anything, we're starting off with a dream. So, Tony, what kind of sleeper are you? Like, are you everywhere, or do you curl into a little ball? What is Tony's situation?
Tony is probably, like, upside down, sleeping the wrong way on the bed, and yes, spread eagle across it. Sheets are kind of tangled up between her legs and her hair and her body.
Yeah, all right. So you are in this just state, and honestly, I mean, this was a pretty big deal getting your own room and your own space for you. So I imagine you're sleeping quite comfortably in the middle of all this.
I mean, for the first time in a long time. So yeah, she's out.
Yeah, you're not in like a shitty little tent cot, you know, military issue. Like, this is a real bed that is all yours. So you are sleeping very, very peacefully. And it's while this is happening that you start to feel very warm. You can't really see, and it's one of those moments where you're not really sure if it's a dream or if it's real, in between those moments of sleeping and waking, where you feel a very soft hand kind of move across your stomach and wrap itself around, and a soft body presses against you on one side, and you hear sort of a gentle breathing by your ear.
She is still asleep, eyes closed, but in that kind of like really cozy, I'm waking up from a really good rest, and puts her arm over the arm and squeezes back.
Yeah, and you do. And where you make contact with the skin, it's warm, and the smell of wildflowers just issues over you. It's a phenomenal and comforting, beautiful smell. And you hear a voice, a familiar voice that says, I have a gift for you, something you desire. Would you like it? You recognize the voice as belonging to the weird sister that you met what seems like an eternity ago in that very strange place
she opens her eyes mm-hmm. to see her.
Yeah, and again, it's that weird thing where you start to realize that you are dreaming. This isn't quite real, because as your vision, you try to look at this person, your senses slide around kind of out of your control, and while you don't actually see her, you know she's there in that very strange way that dreams work. But you know she's there next to you, wrapped around you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's asking you this question. I have a gift for you. Do you want it?
Is it going to cost me another kiss?
And she laughs and says, there will be a price. There is always a price. I haven't decided what it is yet. And the hand kind of slides up your chest.
Tony is a little frozen. Very tempted, but also scared of these fey gifts.
Fair. You are in a dream. Why don't you go ahead and make me an insight check here?
All right.
To see if how much of this you can really, how rational you can be in this moment, in this dream.
I guess not so much. 9.
Okay, so you're not even really sure this is real. This feels like a dream to you, for whatever that's worth.
She's really sleepy and loopy and really curious about what this gift is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you came all this way. I can't turn you away. What do you have for me?
And you feel this body shifts beside you and then climbs on top of you. So she's sitting now straddling you, looking down. And for the first time, you can get the sense of this figure above you. And you just look into these midnight blue eyes, which are filled with sparkling stars. And as she stares into your eyes, you're somewhere else. You're seeing something else. You're in a space that's underground. It's dark, it's industrial, like a building, like a basement of a building. And you hear noises from all around you, animal noises, of creatures roaring, you know, scraping with claws against all of these stalls that you see lined up here. And the smell of this place hits you. It's metallic and dirty, damp. Wherever this is not a pleasant place to be. And you hear, you're traveling almost like you're a camera now that's like moving down this row. And as you come to the last stall here, you see the head of one of these creatures sticks out here, and you see the most beautiful horse you've ever seen. Its skin is the color of jade. You might even think that maybe it is made out of jade. You see the mane of this thing spills down its side, and there are flowers that are naturally growing out of its locks here. And this beast, it turns its head back and forth, kind of slamming against the edges, this little window of this confined space that it's trapped in. And you hear it kicking at this door. And there's yelling coming from somewhere else, just a sound, an angry sound rattling down towards this horse. And you feel this like flash of pain, and the creature pulls its head back, and the vision fades away, and you hear a sharp knocking sound on the door. And suddenly you're in that state where you are now awake and something is hammering against your door. You're alone in the dark. There's no fey woman here. There's no fey horse here. It's just you hear a, ha ha, let me in, fey in the house, hammering against the door.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on. Oh my God. I'm just asleep. There's nothing in here. She's shouting as she runs towards the door to open it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see Gordon. So this pumpkin lifted up on, you know, 2 to 3 feet of like this winding vines, and having one tendril that's out with like a fire axe in their hand that they were just about to start using against the door. And they rush past you and start swatting at the edges of this room, like up into the air, swatting with their curling vines. Why don't you go ahead and make me a perception check?
Oh my God. Okay. We're switching dice again. Yeah, six.
A six. Yeah. So you have no idea what Gordon is doing. This is like too much. You just experience so much. And you can't really make out what is moving around the room, but you can see a serpentine like body, that's maybe about 3 feet total in length. So it looks like a snake that's kind of flying around the room. And before Gordon like smacks a vine hand against it, and there's like this puff of dust that falls onto the floor. And Gordon turns to you and says, no, you really need to close your windows at night. Can't let the fae in. No. And goes over and starts like pulling down the shutters.
I don't know if I don't remember opening them. I didn't know that was a rule. I'm sorry. Nothing was in here. I don't know what you saw exactly. She's trying to make up for the fact that she very much remembers the dream she just had. What was in here? What did you see? What was that?
And it's odd because the jack-o'-lantern head turns, you know, the 180 to look at you. So in the dark room, you just see the candles behind those triangular eyes staring at you for a moment.
Ugh.
Nothing to worry about. No, I got it. Don't worry. Just a little dream creature. You're safe now.
Dream creature.
Mm-hmm. Pests, they are. But be careful. No open windows or they'll crawl into your brain.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon.
Will that be all?
Yeah, I'm good. She just really wants him out of there now. Does not like interacting with him in the dark.
Yep. And he goes, and disappear. All the vines curl back into this pumpkin, and the pumpkin drops on the floor, and the eyes go out.
He drops on the floor?
Yeah. So he's just sitting there on the floor, a pumpkin, like a carved jack-o'-lantern with no light inside.
Well, all right then, we're just gonna pick this up and take it out into the hallway.
Put it back on the fucking mantle where he belongs.
Okay, he's there. We're going back to our room. Well, take a quick look around. Is anyone else awake and out?
Yeah, right now? So, I mean, real quick, you all are, it's a pretty small house. You probably would have heard this wild thumping that was happening and then voices and then all the noise Gordon was making. So, Lou, would that wake you up? Or are you a very sound trancer?
Oh, no. She does not sleep soundly at all. She's, like, got the mom ears. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that at some point during the night, she would have gone to her room. But she emerges at this moment in, like, a long, like, moo-moo-style nightgown with a candle.
Oh, yeah. So comfortable.
Her hair all wrapped up, and she's just like, Tony, are you okay? What was that?
I don't know what that was. I was asleep. I was just, you know, having a dream, and Gordon just bolted into my room with a flaming stick or something, waving at the sky, and he said, don't open your windows, because fae dream creatures will come in.
Oh.
Do you know what that is?
No. Maybe you can manifest a lock on your door or something when you go back in. I don't know how this place works, but
I don't know. I don't think there's really much that can stop him. I let him in.
Oh,
but Gordon, not this creature thing.
Well, you're okay now, though, right? This is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We woke you up. Just go get some rest.
Yeah, so at this point, you feel like it's probably really early-ish in the morning, so it's like that 5:36, like right before, it's like, well, I could stay up.
Okay.
It's one of those. It's like, hate it, but I could stay
up. Might as well.
Time. Yeah.
Might as well. I mean, after that abrupt and rude awakening from a really heartbreaking dream, I was tearing up, okay? I fell in love so fast, and then my heart was dying at the same time.
That's a mood.
So she's not going back to sleep herself. I was actually thinking about making some coffee, if that's what they drink in this chicken house.
Yeah, I mean, coffee is a really expensive delicacy, but fuck, you live in a fucking fey house where you can get anything. So you've probably only had coffee maybe, you know, five or six times in your life.
Well, actually, probably she'd rather have some tea and think of like the homebrew tea that her and her mom used to make together, drying out leaves.
Cool. Yeah, and
and see if that comes to life in the kitchen.
Yeah, and Aoife also, I think you hear all of this and then the conversation going on here. Are you waking up?
No, I think being used to sharing a room with five siblings, can sleep through literally anything. Yeah. She, like, you definitely have to go and violently shake her awake.
Hell yeah.
She's just out.
All right. So, yeah, and Rook doesn't seem to come down or notice or care. One of those options. So. yeah, Tony, so you can head over to the drawers and, you know, you pull something open and you see a bunch of these different canisters. They're all with tea blends that you recognize. Not only the one that you're looking for, but all the ones that your mom used to, like, she was an experimenter. So even the bad ones that you can see, like, neatly labeled in this drawer in that instant flood of memories, just even looking at these silly names she had for all of these blends.
Oh, she just audibly is like, ha, oh my god, and like takes the bad ones and is like, oh, let's have some of this today. It's been a long time.
Yeah. And Lou, what are you up to now that you're up? It's 5:30.
You know, that's fine. she's gonna go like kind of like look down on herself and realize that she's emerged in her unmentionables.
Oh no. Oh, God forbid.
Heavens.
She's like, my pearls.
She's like, I'll be right back. And she'll go and change. But then she'll start working on baking some bread for breakfast and everything.
Oh, my God. Look at you.
It's a brioche. So.
So, okay.
I started last night.
Yeah, the dough was resting. So,
yes.
Yeah. Taking it out of the proving drawer, because of course we have a proving drawer. Even the British people are the only ones with proving drawers. Whatever. I'm not mad at the Great British Bake Off. So, yeah. So the morning begins, and you all are getting acclimated, enjoying the quiet. Gordon does not move from the spot where you left him, Tony. He just sort of observes this room.
Good. Here. Good. That's fine.
The jack-o'-lantern eyes do not flare back to life. And eventually, you hear like a thumping from up this set of stairs where Rook's room is. And strolling down, now about probably 3 inches taller and starting to curve out a bit, you see Rook walks down the stairs. And she just walks immediately past you and starts just pulling chaotic things out of drawers, maybe making coffee, maybe toast. It's hard to say.
Lou is going to intervene at her trying to get breakfast, and she's like, give me 20 minutes, please.
It kind of sucks living with other people.
Tell me that again in 20 minutes. I'm gonna change your mind.
And she just looks at you with the impetus of somebody who wakes up early and just immediately needs coffee. She kind of smolders at you and then slinks over to the same armchair she was sitting in yesterday. So her armchair over by the fire, and kind of takes a seat beside you, Tony.
This is my
How
moment.
Do you sleep?
Oh. So Lou is going to charge into that kitchen, and she is going to be making a French toast with whipped ricotta
and spiced
peaches with a brulee on top for an added crunch and drizzled honey on top.
Holy shit.
Jesus, right. Katie.
Oh my god. This is the most decadent fucking thing.
God, we better fight a lot of stuff or this is going to be, wow.
Oh, it's going to go straight to these hips and it's just going to do everyone a favor.
It's just going to make it all so much better. Yes. So Aoife, what time do you usually wake up? What's your morning here?
I think she probably wakes up usually like around 7:30, mm-hmm. and then first thing that she does is that she picks her outfit for the day and she opens the closet. Mm-hmm.
Everything. That's amazing. Oh, dream closet. Man.
Right? Holy smokes.
I'm sorry, yeah, I attacked you with pumpkins. You can have any outfit you want.
And so she just spends like 30 minutes picking out exactly the perfect outfit for the day, knowing that they're heading to Coven. And so she's like, ooh, hags, witchy, gotta fit the vibe.
gotta dress for success.
And so she wears these like layering of like handkerchief dresses that go like gradually longer, and so it's like that starts with the top one is black and they gradually get up to like to this gradient of white.
Cool.
And she's wearing this very like big crocheted sort of like bat wing sweater.
Oh my god.
And she has this like definitely like not you know the cute witch hat that you see on Etsy with like the foldable brim. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So much respect. Yeah,
I need this fashion line. I need this in real life. Fantastic. So you get up and you walk out and Rook just gives you an up and down and goes, that sound.
What are you going on about?
I mean, can you really even, I mean, what if you have to fight and whatever. Can well, I have some I don't- food?
Lou turns and she's got like the four plates on her arms like a waitress and distributes them in front of everybody. And she just like doesn't sit. She just like folds her hands and just kind of like looks at everyone.
Damn, Lou. This looks amazing.
It's nothing. It's not a big deal. She's just gonna like fiddle with a few things, like cleaning off her knives and stuff and wait.
I mean, I haven't seen most of this kind of stuff on a plate before, so she's in it. Her face is consumed and covered with French toast and cream and peaches.
Yeah, I feel like honey would be something that, like, would be, like, Aoife's, like, one of her favorite things. Because mm-hmm. I imagine, like, having, like, a next-door neighbor who was, like, a beekeeper.
Oh, and so yeah. Get, like, in the elf city? Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
They were all like treetop
apiary.
Like, right, yeah. These like huge trees that are just like giant hives that you can like walk through.
Yeah.
Oh man. So she's just like immediately delighted when she sees that drizzle of honey on top.
Mm. Yeah. And Rook just begins to eat mechanically.
I'm done in seconds.
Rook isn't too far behind you.
So,
and then as soon as Tony takes the last bite, she starts to slow clap, Lou. I mean, I can only give good words right now, but I'm also speechless. So thank you very much. I will somehow repay the favor.
I'm so glad you like it. Everybody else, I mean, your thought? If you have any, it's not a big deal. It's just breakfast.
Oh, no, and she's got, like, this, like, the whipped ricotta, like, spilling out of her mouth. She's like, oh, it's great. It's really good.
Good. Rook?
You want me to talk about food? I mean, it's food. I'm full.
Well, someone's taste buds are dead, and that was only breakfast, so I'm looking forward to lunch.
Lou's like, oh, okay. And she turns back into the kitchen and the knife that she was cleaning, she just stabs into the butcher block counter and starts doing dishes.
Oh, well, I'll definitely help you do dishes, shit, and I'm not gonna walk away.
No, it's fine. I'm just gonna take a moment.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon will do those. You can just leave them wherever you want. And Rook genuinely looks confused about why this interaction was not good. She's looking at you, Aoife, like, kind of shrugging and lifting her eyebrows up, like, I don't, like, what?
Yeah, Aoife will lean in and whisper, like, Oh, just say that you like it. Just make her happy. Like, it's really, like, her thing, you know? Like, your thing is, like, being a good bounty hunter. Like, cooking's her thing.
Oh, that was so good. Yummy.
This is painful.
I believe her.
She'll, like, give her, like, a little playful pat with her hand. Like, see, there you go. It's not that hard. Didn't you have parents? You know, you just say things to make them shut up.
And Rook looks at you again, confused by the whole concept of parents, or she just doesn't seem to get it. And she shakes her head and says, anyway, if you all are ready, we should probably talk about what's going to happen today. So if you could just, you know, just come here and we should really go over some stuff.
Yes. Hold on. And she just, like, we will just put the dishes into the sink and, like, looks at them and, like, hesitantly takes a step back. And she's like, leave it. Leave it, Lou. She's just, like, talking to
leave it. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
And she'll go ahead and just, like, take a seat at the table.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you all kind of sit down and Rook circles up, you know, she puts her hands together on the tabletop and looks at you all like a boss as she says, okay, so we're about to go to Coven. And again, Coven is in the wilds. So there are rules that you have to follow. Do you all remember what I was telling you before? You want to just refresh the rules real quick?
No names.
No names. Good.
Make any deals.
Good. Yes. Don't accept any gifts. That's also a kind of a deal.
Don't eat anything.
Well, in Coven, that's you're going to be okay on that one. But just in Coven. But yes, good. Remember those rules.
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Got it.
Thanks. All good right. to and know.
Just don't trust anyone. Don't believe anything you see. Everyone is out to get you, and just, honestly, you just shouldn't talk to anyone. Just don't talk to anyone at all while you're there, unless I tell you to.
Aoife, like, leans over to Tony. He's like, no wonder she's like this.
Tony, like, side eyes agreeing with you, like, mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we get to Coven, we have a lot to do, so I'm going to need you all to do something on your own. All right? I'm going to go. We're going to get there. I'm going to go and try and get us some money from this Tachinid. But I need you all to go and find us another job. So when you get there, we're going to go. You're going to follow the blue lamps to the town square. You're going to go to a building called the Witch's Brew. And you're going to ask for Tandy. And then you're going to tell her that you are looking for work. You're not going to mention me. You're not going to say anything about me. You're just going to get a job from Tandy. And then I will meet you in the square after that. And
are you in some kind of trouble with Tandy?
No, it'll just be easier if you... It'll just be easier if you don't... Just don't mention me. And honestly, don't talk to anyone other than Tandy. The only person you should talk to is Tandy.
Okay.
We got it.
Great. Okay. And if at any point I can't meet you, or I'll give you 3 hours. 3 hours from when we come into Coven, and then you will meet me back in the central square. And if I'm not there, you assume I'm dead, and you go back to the hut. Okay?
Dead.
That's it? We just leave you there?
Well, if you don't show up in 3 hours, I'm going to assume you're dead, and I'm just going to come back here and go. So really, you should just make the appointment, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Well, okay.
Okay?
Fair enough to me.
All right. Good. Well, then we should be there in like 10 minutes to the crossover point. So get ready or whatever.
Okay. Anything wrong with not following the blue lamps if they happen to just not be on or something?
No, go. Don't not follow instructions because it's fun. No, the blue lamps will take you right to the town.
I'm just saying in case, I don't know, power was out or something. All right, cool. Blue lamps.
What do you, No, just follow the blue lamps. Go to the center square. Don't go anywhere else. You'll die if you go anywhere else, and don't talk to anyone.
Okay. Don't worry, I wrote it all down. And Lou just kind of takes like a little notepad and sticks it into her back pocket.
Okay, good. I like you. That's good. Notes. She looks, gives you the finger eyes to you, Tony and Aoife. Notes.
I give them back.
What does that mean?
Girls.
I don't know. What does it mean?
What is you? She does it back, pointing at you.
She's still doing it back at her.
Now that Rook is, she's approaching your height, Tony. So it's getting, you know, she's, you know.
Holy shit.
It's a little bit more
like towering over them?
No, I mean, she's probably about, I mean, maybe Aoife's height now. She's sprung up, literally, in days. She's gaining inches and becoming more and more like a adult person.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, you would say she looks about like 14 now, 15.
So you're just going to like keep getting bigger and bigger and, I don't know, you're going to be an old woman in like a week?
Just go get your stuff, okay? And she stands up and kind of storms up to her room.
Roger, boss, you're really easy to work with. Such a charm.
She does not respond. You hear a slam of a door.
Oh, God. Teenagers. And I go and get ready in my room.
You're like a teenager yourself. You're like, what, 19?
She's 19, but like, she's on her way out, so. She's acting very high and mighty, but obviously still a child doing this shit.
Yeah, doing back this. At her. The eyes back and forth, eye fingers. Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Any final preparations we want to make before we head into Coven?
Nope, just.
Just gonna make sure my windows are locked while I'm out.
Just in case.
Nothing can sneak in there.
You don't want any weird, sexy snake things giving you sexy snake dreams.
No, we don't, big winks.
Don't.
We don't want that.
I hated that. Okay.
Oh, no, we're just gonna grab the old bag.
Sweet. Y'all ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So, Rook tromps down the stairs. You can see that she has her big backpack on, like exactly what she had before. Her armor now does fit a little bit better than it was. So she actually looks almost like a proper warrior at this point as she comes downstairs. You do see she's wearing this very heavy cloak with a deep hood that she pulls up. And then she pulls like a black mask out of her bag and then kind of straps that onto her face. It conceals, you know, about three quarters of her face. And you all feel a sudden lurching sensation. Like if you've been on a boat that's been moving for quite some time and then it suddenly stops, that weird feeling. And then the world lifts down. And you get that sense of, like, when you're in an elevator as the hut is lowering itself now. And there's a sharp, like, thunk sound. And the door pops open. And you see, just beyond the door, this deep jungle. But it's not like any jungle you've ever seen. All the colors are wrong. It's as if you took a jungle scene and then painted it in neon vibrant, like when you look at an aquarium under a black light, that kind of bizarre greens and pinks and fluorescent blues all around you. And these trees just tower. You cannot see the sky beyond where you are. And the smell of this place just wafts in immediately when the door is open. Just that pronounced smell of damp earth and trees and just nature hits you like a bullet train. And Rook says, all right, well, you ready?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Tony jumps down.
Okay. Oh, and also she reaches into her bag and pulls out these very small jars, maybe like 1 ounce jars that she hands to each of you. And each is filled with a grayish, white, chunky material. Mm. And she says, just in case, you still need this to see the house. So each of you should take it and don't give it to anyone. This house is mega secret. And if you give this away, this is like military intelligence, okay? Protect this with your lives.
Okay.
I salute her.
She looks at you just like, ugh. okay. Well, come on. And she just starts tromping off into this neon fluorescent jungle.
Hey friends, this campaign is really starting to kick off, huh? And I'm excited to see what is in store for our three heroes. For now though, I'd love it if you take a minute to give us a rating and review on your favorite podcatcher of choice. Not only does a simple gesture help us stay relevant and prominent in the podcast sphere, but reading your reviews brings us so much life. I know whenever I'm feeling down or overwhelmed, I pull up the reviews on our show and take a minute to rejoice in your kind words. They really do mean the world and make such a difference. And speaking of worlds, I've just started a new streamed campaign that brings us to the world of Theros, a Magic the Gathering setting that is explored in the Mythic Odysseys of Theros 5th edition D&D book. My new campaign, Path and Prophecy, explores this ancient Grecian-inspired world with an amazing cast of Magic the Gathering content creators, one of whom is playing D&D for the very first time. Catch us on the first Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time on the Venture Maidens Twitch channel, and you'll find our VODs on the Mind Sculptors YouTube page. Additionally, this campaign will be getting its very own podcast feed, so stay tuned for that. And wow, I've got another amazing recommendation for a show, the Wench Bench Podcast, who is our mid-roll sponsor. Come take a seat on the Wench Bench, a podcast where two friends, Allison, a frustrated feminist, and Fonda, a positive-seeking adult, discuss fabulous fictional females. Each episode, one of the hosts covers a different woman from all kinds of media. Just as a few characters already covered are Furiosa and the wives from Mad Max Fury Road, where they unravel the perils of toxic masculinity. General Amaya from the Dragon Prince TV show, of who I am a big, big fan, and shows the importance of diversity in the writing room. And Lieutenant Uhura from the Star Trek original series, one of those iconic representations of groundbreaking television. So make sure to check it out, the Wench Bench Podcast. Give them a like, a subscribe. After you've listened to an episode, give them a rating review. And, well, that's all I've got for you cool cats this time. Let's get back into this Feywild ride.
Yeah, I mean, this place is... Like, is this, like, basically the wilds that we kind of, like, went around at our camp? This is basically that on steroids at this point?
Yeah. So, like, the Feywalk jungle, which you saw before, looked like just a very verdant ancient jungle. This is notably more bizarre than that, just because of the colors and the smell. It's like everything has been amped up to 11 in terms of the senses. The colors you see and the smells you experience, even the way the air tastes, you can feel the air here just tingles against your skin as the infused magic of this place just washes over you. You could never for a second think that this was normal material plane space. That's just how strange it all is sensationally.
Right, yeah, Aoife is just, like, trying so hard not to touch everything, especially, like, bright, beautiful flowers. Oh, yeah. She's just like, have you ever seen color like this? Oh my god, could you imagine?
Tony is kind of freaking out with you, like, this is the most beautiful foliage I've ever seen.
What, could you imagine, like, a really elegant, like, nightgown with, like, a long trailing, like, satin, like, train and this shade?
The it would bouquets be, oh, you could build with these things.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is where I'm getting married.
Right here in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it's, I mean, Lou, and I think you would probably appreciate most of the smells of this place. Everything smells so interesting. And there are plants that you have never seen, fruits hanging from these trees that just look enticing and strange. And I think you can't help but wonder, like, what does that taste like? Or what could I do with that?
Rook, are these edible?
Oh my god, no! No eating anything until we're in coven!
I asked first! I was just checking! I just want to know. I mean, what happens if you eat them?
I don't know, and you don't know either, and that's the point.
But, okay, we'll revisit this.
We've got time. And Rook pushes past some branches and kind of holds them open for you. And you see that in the middle of all of this foliage, there is a circle where there are no trees. It's just beaten flat earth, which is very strange in the middle of this verdant extreme jungle. And the only thing at the very, very center of this clearing is a dilapidated well. And it's not a particularly remarkable well. It's something you would probably see in a garden. It's got like red bricks that are crumbled and overgrown with ivy and this peeling painted like red roof. The rope that was holding up a bucket has rotted away and now there's nothing really there. It's just this well in the middle of the clearing.
Aoife points at it and she's like, that's definitely cursed.
And Rook looks at you like, what?
No, that's the crossing point. What do you...
God. I hired... whatever. And she keeps walking towards it. And suddenly, from around the corner of this well, you see one green eye staring at you out of the face of a house cat. Like a small domestic house cat that's kind of fluffy, black and white. And it's only one eye because the other has an eye patch.
As this
little cat glares at you from this well and says,
you want to go into coven, huh? Are you first timers?
Look at this wee babe.
Who are you calling a wee babe?
Hello, sir. What is your name?
Cats don't have names. What do you know?
Sad.
Should we just call you Cat?
Sure, whatever. I'm asking you, is this your first time to coven? I gotta give you the speech if it's your first time.
Oh, I.
Yes.
All right. Well, you're going into coven. You gotta make a deal. There's no violence. In coven, none of this sovereign court stuff, so you have to give up something. You have to put it on the line, and if you fuck up, then you lose it. That's the way it works in coven. You got it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll get it back, yeah?
If you don't fuck up, yeah. So, okay. I mean, you're good. It's just a basic agreement, sort of an enticement thing to keep you from, you know...
Is Rook still with us?
Yeah. Rook doesn't seem fazed by this experience.
Oh, so this is normal?
And Rook's like, yeah, it's a cat.
All right.
You don't have cats where you're from?
Not really talking ones with eye patches.
I mean, they don't all have eye patches. Well, I mean, if you give them names, they have names. They don't really have names. Cats are very magical creatures.
I don't see why that means they can't have a name that they could give themselves if they can talk.
They don't like names. Names are power. If you have a name, then something can have power over you. So cats are really powerful because they don't have names.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. She's just going to swing out her sword. Clyde brings out and rests this giant sword. I don't know how big this cat is, but...
No, it's the size of a normal cat.
Oh, so right, okay.
Yeah, so the cat looks up and is like, what's that for?
Well, it's meant to protect me, and if there's no violence here, I think I'll be fine to give that to you. want to come back.
Oh, no, I don't. You can keep the sword. Just don't, you know, just don't start trouble in the name of the sovereign Fae courts. You can do normal violence, but, you know, that's just, you know, we're sort of anti-sovereign Fae court here. That's the deal. Anyway, for you.
So what do you consider fucking up if we can do normal violence?
Just don't. You know, we don't want no agents of, you know, the Withered Court or agents of the Blossom Court in here, right? No turf wars.
That's not us. That's not us, man.
Yeah, well, so you say, but you don't know. You don't You're know right. sometimes.
You're right.
I mean, get all kinds.
I feel you. You're absolutely right. You gotta trust, you know, no one around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So you, here you go.
And the cat flicks out a paw. And this little piece of paper rolls on the ground in front of you.
And you, over there.
And another one rolls towards you, Aoife, and then towards you, Lou. And then the cat looks at Rook and goes,
Sister?
And nods. And Rook nods. And Rook doesn't get a piece of paper.
What does the paper say?
Yeah. So you open it up, and you see that the paper is a very simple contract with a place for you to sign at the beginning. It basically says, I will not participate in any sovereign court-condoned violence while I am in the confines of Coven. Otherwise, I will be giving up the following. And each of you have a different thing listed there. So, Nassim, why don't you go ahead and roll me a d6.
3.
So if you break the rules, you will be giving up the color of your eyes.
Aw, okay. What, will they just be white?
You don't know. The cat's like, I don't know.
Okay.
And then Aoife, you will be giving up, go ahead and roll me a d6.
1.
Okay, you will be giving up the words to a beloved tune.
Oh, that's sad.
These are weirdly poignant. Go ahead, Katie, and roll me a d6.
I got a 2.
So you will be giving up the taste of sugar.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Damn.
Oh.
We are brutal. Following these rules to a T. I want no tomfoolery from anybody, okay? And she's, like, signing this paper.
Rook is nodding again. Like, rapidly my favorite.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Oh yeah,
I'm yours.
Yeah, and as you hand them back to the cat, they disappear because the cat doesn't have hands. They just go somewhere, and the cat says,
"All right, you can go in."
Waves a head at the well.
Just put a foot in, or
yeah, just jump in.
Rook, you go first.
I think I should probably be the rear guard, so why don't you all go in first? Just jump in.
Okay.
Jump.
Oh. Aoife!
Whee!
Aoife disappears.
Well, she can't be by herself. And then Tony jumps in and disappears.
Yeah.
God. And then Lou very gingerly puts one foot in and like sits on the edge for a second before scooting off.
Yeah, and you do. And as you all do, you feel, I mean, falling for just a moment, but then it's warm air and sunshine and your vision changes and you land very gently on a cobblestone street. And as you look around you, it's what you see is like one of those really cute little New England towns on the coast where all of these just perfect little buildings are lined up on either side. There's very wide cobblestone streets. You see that there are street lamps lining this grid-like city here. And there are all kinds of creatures, is the only word you can use, that are walking around these streets. Everything from half-human, half-horse, like, centaur people to flying pixies fluttering through the air. Carts are being pulled by these massive trolls. You see animated flowers that are just walking about the streets. It's this whole melange of different cultures and people that is just fascinating as they move about this cute little town. If you all have ever seen the Disney movie Halloween Town, I imagine that this is major Halloween Town vibes.
I shit you not, that's so funny because I had thought about what my fake name was going to be and I picked Marnie.
Oh my God, funny! Yeah, because the more I was thinking about Kevin, I was like, yeah, it's just Halloween Town. All around there are like cute bales of hay and lots of like gourds everywhere. I mean, it's a town run by witches.
I'm wearing a jack-o'-lantern shirt. I just realized that.
It's perpetual October in Coven, so.
Love it.
And
the spice flows.
The spice flows here. And very shortly after you all land, Rook also lands behind you with her hood all the way pulled up and her mask covering most of her face. And she says, okay. Remember the instructions? Do you want to repeat them back to me?
Sure. And Lou takes out her notepad from her back pocket. Follow the blue lamps to town square. Go to the witch's brew. Ask for Tandy. Say we're looking for work. Do not mention you. Come back to the square. Wait 3 hours total from start to finish. If you're not here, leave without you. Don't give anybody the vials. And don't tell anyone your name. And don't take any gifts. Don't make any deals. Is that everything?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So obviously, and she points up at these streetlights that are lining each block. And you can see that this town is laid out in very neat grids. And there are a bunch of these different street lamps that are alight with these arcane orbs inside them. And you can see different pathways indicated by these rainbow colored lights moving through the city here. So like, as you're looking down, you can see that there are some blue lamps that turn a corner to the left, and then at the right it goes into a green, and then straight on it's like an orange. So Rook is like, yep, those, great, all right, well then I'm gonna go and I'm gonna get us some money and you're gonna get us a job and everything's gonna be great. Just it might look safe, it's not safe, just okay.
Yeah, get a job, wee buns. Let's go.
Yeah, we've gotten it. We all had to sign a contract to give something up now, which wasn't something we were made aware of ahead of time. Thanks, Rook. Yeah,
it's the Fae. I'm trying to impress that on you, that there's always a price. If you haven't gotten that by now, then that's on you. That's not on me, man. But, well, whatever. Okay, I'll see you in 3 hours, exactly, in the town square.
3 hours.
Yes, 3 hours.
Okay, I'll see you then. Bye. And she takes off in a direction following some, like, lavender-colored lamps.
All right, ladies, blue lanterns. Where are they at?
One on the corner?
That way. God, it might have been more fun to deal with that fucking cowboy asshole than Rook. I'm getting real sick of her shit already.
She's right. A boss, right?
Down these blue lamps I go.
You know, teenagers. No offense, Aoife. You're almost out of it, you know. But
she's only 2 years older than I am. She points at Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've grown up a lot, you know.
Yeah, I've seen some shit.
In the ranks, so.
I have an old soul, so. Mm.
God, I'm old. Just
you are so much older.
She just kind of like takes off in the direction of the blue lamps, looking a little older all of a sudden.
Another wrinkle forms under the eyes.
God damn, the shadows just grow ever deeper. Yes, so as you continue down the streets, it is really just cool sight after interesting thing turning some corners. I mean, what are some interesting things that you all would see? Let's just, in a fae town, no holds barred, what are some cool things that catch your attention as you're walking through the streets? Sage, it looks like you have some. Give me a couple.
Oh, I was just saying the no holds barred. Hey.
Oh, jeez. Jesus.
I love you.
You see the front and back half of a satyr that are separate, or not of a satyr, sorry, of a centaur, where the front half of, like, the human portion and the two legs is running around chasing the back half.
Yeah. Oh, there's a story there. So you walk by one of these intersections and that's happening, and nobody seems to be paying much mind to it, but holy shit, that's weird. Nassim, what is something that Tony zones in on? It's moving through the city.
I feel like there's got to be some sort of park area where there's people and Fae interacting with these massive butterflies.
Oh, yeah.
That they range in sizes, but like the smallest ones are probably the size of a parrot sitting on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're large. They glow. Some of them give off like sparkles and have all these hanging tendrils from their wings. And it's beautiful. She's so distracted. She really wants to veer off into this beautiful park and play with the butterflies.
Yeah, you see, you know, this like midnight blue skinned individual in some kind of uniform who's selling cups, like 16-ounce cups of like syrup or something to like two people, so the butterflies will land on them and like drink out of these with their long purpose sky.
It sounds like so much fun.
Katie, what is something that Lou zeroes in on as you're moving through these streets?
I think one of these little shops, like a group of people kind of leave them, and they have like trash that they just go to like throw into like a nearby perfectly coiffed garden. And just as it's about to hit the garden, like a flower just snaps up and eats the trash.
Yay!
And nobody bats an eyelash.
No, yeah, it's this cautioned off little area that has little signs that say, be careful, don't get into the garden. Throw from 5 feet away, instructions on their waste disposal. Yeah, as these like carnivorous lilies pop back into the ground. Very cool. So these are just some of the things that you are seeing as you're moving through these streets, and the people, the shops, the smells, it's all so magnificent. And you continue, you know, forcing yourself to follow these blue lamps through these streets. And that's when all of you get this, the smell just before rain happens, but everything here in the wilds is amplified by about 100. So you can all immediately smell that moment right before, as the blue skies are covered now with these roiling clouds. But instead of like the grays and whites and blacks you might expect from the sky, they are just this rainbow compilation of colors that, so now like this tie-dye sky is happening up above you, and the smell of rain is hanging very heavily in the air.
Ooh. I feel like seeing like all of these strange creatures and all of these fae running around, I think Aoife gets suddenly very homesick for Greyhaven.
Yeah.
Even though Greyhaven certainly is not as bright and as wondrous as this, like, it's still like very much kind of catches the vibe, and she's just like sniffs a little bit, kind of brushes her sleeve over her face real quick, and just kind of puts her head down and just like walks closer to Lou.
Oh, get a little homesick.
Yeah. Homesick baby.
Yeah. And you keep following these blue lamps, and it's not very long before the promise of that rain is fulfilled, as these rainbow droplets, probably the size of like fist, start hammering down.
Oh my
from
god.
The sky here. Yeah, the rain is huge, and all of it, it's not like the clear or blue you might expect. It is rainbow colors that are just hailing down from the sky, and you see all of the people around you move and head under, you know, standing these little awnings by the shops and everything, and everybody just kind of shuffles used to this gargantuan rain that's happening now, and with a you see that all of these street lamps you've been following go out.
What did I say was gonna happen? What did I say?
What? What the hell?
Lou's been holding her little notepad out, and I think, like, of course, one big ball of rain hits it, and the ink just goes.
And it's red. It's just bright red that consumes all the black of your ink.
And she turns to you and one of her eyes just twitches.
Well, so I was doing my best to keep a mental picture of where the blue kept going. Any chance you guys were doing the same?
To be honest, I was reading my notes.
Okay. Well, let's roll something. Survival?
Yeah, survival to see if you can, continue following a path.
Yeah, I will definitely assist on you with that since I am proficient as well.
I'm 13.
Okay. You are sure that you saw blue lights going about 4 more blocks down this street, and then you're pretty sure it curved to the right, but the way the blocks are laid out in these, very geometric designs, you're not 100% sure, but you're pretty sure it didn't keep going, so it must have curved that way.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we keep going this way for just a few more blocks, but we'll see when we get there how it looks.
I mean, we're going to a town square. Like, surely there's got to be other signs. I mean, it's a town square. How hard could it be to find?
Maybe if we just... let's keep going down this way, but maybe we can at least just ask if people can lead us there.
We're not supposed to talk to anybody.
I know, but...
Well, feck.
Well, okay, let's go to where we think that they're going to end, and maybe it'll be right there. Maybe we'll turn the corner and it'll be there. Which is brew? Who's to say?
Yeah, so you continue along, and do you shuffle under the awnings? Because, every time one of these raindrops falls, it feels like a bucket of water is being dumped on your head. Like, that is the intensity of each of these raindrops. And your whole clothes become stained. They're more viscous than just normal water. It's like paint is being...
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously trying to stay out of that.
Yeah, that's terrible. So you shuffle with the rest of all of these strange creatures in town under this pattern of awnings, and everybody jumps to the next one trying to avoid the rain as you're moving in this big crowd. And you reach that corner where you were sure the blue lights came to here. And now you're at this position where you're like, yes, they probably went to the right. But you also see there is a left-hand turn that you didn't really see by this taller building. So the lights could have very easily been going to the left or to the right. And as you look down, it just looks like the kind of the same in both directions. It's like when you've had too many drinks and you're walking around downtown San Francisco and you're like, fuck. Ugh, that's where you're at right now.
It all looks the same. Well, let's, are there any signs anywhere? Any kind of town traits that we could glean direction from?
So there's no, obvious street signs or anything that are happening. There are a lot of people moving around, but as you're looking, there's not any really clear markers. You, of course, see the signage above each shop, and everything is in Sylvan. So those of you who don't speak Sylvan, it's just Lou, right, who doesn't speak Sylvan?
I don't speak.
Oh, I think you're muted, but yeah, that was a no. So Lou, everything is just in a totally alien alphabet language to you. Eva and Tony, you're making out that's a plant boutique, or like that over there is a clothing store. That's a general store. But other than that, it's nothing. Lou, you're just like, you've been dropped into Italy and nothing makes any sense. And the streets wind around and it's all very strange.
This is it. We're going to get lost and Lou's going to leave
gonna
us.
We're going to die.
And then we're going to get stuck here. And... eventually there will be violence, because why not? And then I will never taste a brownie the same way again.
There will be violence.
Oh no, Lou is losing it.
Trying to keep it cool and not veer off too far. I want to try my best to, like, eavesdrop on the crowds as people walk by and just, like, listen in on passing conversations to be like, oh, we're heading this way, or let me take you to this, or something. Just, is anyone talking about the town square?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and give me a perception check?
Good thinking.
Well, everything I try.
This is truly some level 2 adventuring shit. Getting lost in a city.
I rolled a 3.
Where are the wolves?
Oh.
Yeah.
Why can't I hear anything?
Yeah, you are trying to keep up. I mean, the raindrops are thundering around you, so it is hard. They are the size of whole buckets of sand, like that you would... like a child's bucket they would bring to the beach. That is the size of every droplet thundering against the ground. And the closest you get, and also everybody is speaking a different language. Like, you do hear a lot of Sylvan, but it's also a million different dialects and different creatures speaking it. And then that's not the only language. You're hearing all kinds of languages coming through. This is like a European city where there are just... so many different things. And there's this giant, they look like a cockroach couple that are walking, like, kind of hand in hand down the street, and they seem to be saying something about going to where the event is at. That's all you can really make out in your broken understanding of what they're saying. Mm-hmm. They take a turn that's kind of the best you've got.
Which turn do they take?
So they go a couple blocks down to the right and then make a sharp left.
Okay. I note that. But also I'd like to ask these two. All right. I don't know. They seem to be going to an event of some kind. Maybe that's where they were going. I don't know if that's where they came from, but they went that way. But I'm also kind of thinking it's possible if there is a town square close by and there's just buckets of rain right now, people would be leaving that area, this big open exposed area, and a crowd would be coming away from that, so we go against the flow of traffic. That's another thought that I had. What do you guys think?
I think
you muted.
Okay, Katie. I'm not muted.
Oh, okay, you're being very quiet.
Oh, I think I turned my gain down recently. Sure. I mean, if there's an event somewhere, if you guys are all speaking Sylvan, maybe you'll have more people to overhear there if there's a large gathering of people and we can figure out where this place is.
Or, you know what? We could also try and wait out the rain. We have time. We don't know how long this will go on for. Maybe they'll just relight the lamps afterwards.
Okay. Sure. That seems that safe. Seems
like, you know, when a kid gets like lost, you tell them to not...
yeah, don't move.
Don't move anywhere.
Just wait.
Yeah, I feel like I could see Rook saying exactly that with her condescending fucking voice.
Yeah. And as you're looking around you, I mean, the buildings are pretty evenly spaced, so there are lots of, like, these little kind of alleyways between the buildings, so you could very easily, you know, duck in into one of these alleys and kind of stand under the rooftops to get out of the rain here. It's like on the side of restaurants, you know, where, like, dumpsters are and, like, the trash. You could easily dip into one of those.
Okay. I say we do that and we try, like, 20 minutes.
I like that. Makes sense.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right. So you all dip into one of these alleys that has, you know, a nice shelter from the rain. And you're probably standing next to a restaurant of some kind, because, Lou, you smell these very reminiscent of home, these very mushroomy smells. Wafting from this building next to you as you stand next to this dumpster in the rain for about 20 minutes, like, watching all of these people pass by you on the sidewalk, and everybody who comes by stares down, you know, in fear down this dumpster, like, this alley, looking at you all just lurking there.
Like, possum eyes.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's weird to see people just hanging out in an alley, but you wait, crouching miserably in the damp and the cold. Any conversations? Yeah, that happen while we're waiting for Nassim.
Well, I guess Aoife would take a note from Tony and would be like also be trying to listen to people and see if she can catch any glimpses of people saying the town square or witches brood. Just like maybe get a hint just in case.
Yeah, go ahead and make me a perception. Because you're kind of trying to glean what's right. happening.
Natural fucking 20 Shut for a total of 23.
Oh, shit. Okay. That's awesome. So your Sylvan is way better, I think, than Tony's. Because you've actually heard people speak Sylvan as, like, a native language rather than just learning it as, like, a military. Like, we're fighting Fae. We need to know their language. So
yeah.
As you're listening to... what's going on? You don't specifically catch mention of the Witch's Brew or the town square, but you do hear something interesting. Apparently, and you hear this from a few different people, they are going to some kind of racing event. And what you gather from that with this natural 20, this amazing roll, it's like an underground sort of secret event. So you get the impression that it's something like a horse racing thing or just something hush hush that a lot of people seem really excited about that is happening this evening.
Okay.
So that piques your interest because it's a few different interesting looking characters who are talking about this event.
Interesting. And she will, I imagine, like 15 minutes goes by. And she'll lean over to Lou and Tony and be like, wait, Tony, you said something about an event earlier?
Oh, your phone's just now on.
Nope.
So Aoife was spying on people while you were gone and heard something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's up?
And Aoife will ask, wait, Tony, you said something about a couple who are going to an event earlier?
Yes. I couldn't tell what kind of event, but sounded like they were going to one.
She, like, cranes up an eyebrow, and she, like, leans in kind of, like, mischievously. She's like, I think it's, like, some kind of underground racing thing. I've been hearing people talk about it. It seems, oh, I don't know. It's real hush-hush, though.
Underground racing?
Yeah. I mean, not maybe, like, literally underground, but more like, you know, like, under the table.
That's weird. I don't know, it just seems weird to think that fae people would use animals like that, or creatures like that.
I mean, they were turning people into plant zombies. I don't think having some blink dogs run around is too far off.
I guess you're right.
Oh, I guess, would they see who blinked the furthest, or how fast they... She just, like, goes down this rabbit hole.
All right, well, that sucks.
Yeah, Tony, that really sucks. Just because of something it's that deja vu feeling when you hear that.
Yep.
Weird.
Do you guys know anything about, like, turquoisey, jadey colored horses?
Oh, that sounds dead on. Have I heard stories of weirdly colored horses?
Go ahead and make me a arcana check or a nature check, whichever you feel is more appropriate.
All right, let's see. All right, well, we have nature, so let's do that.
I believe in you.
Oh, that's a 5.
Never mind, I take it back.
I mean, there's all kinds of stories about. I mean, you grew up, I mean, you were a little girl once. You heard stories of all kinds of unicorns and cool horses and just amazing magical shit, especially having a fae ancestry. Sure. Yeah. That's your frame of reference. Why not?
That's about what I would imagine.
I've never heard of anything like that personally, but this place is bonkers. Mm-hmm. So... not ruling anything out.
Wait, did you see one? Oh, I must have missed a stable.
No, that's the thing. I don't think I've ever seen one, but I saw one in my dreams. So I didn't know if it was a real thing or not. I mean, you know, the town square probably is that way. We should go that way.
It could definitely be real. We should... We don't know where the blue lanterns are at this point.
How much time has passed?
Maybe like 15 minutes or so. The rain hasn't let up.
Okay, we can wait a little bit longer. But as soon as it lets... If it doesn't let up soon, we might be cutting our time short. And maybe I can go down that way and not talk to anyone and just let you know if it looks like it's leading to a town square and then come right back and get you.
Oh, I absolutely do not trust you to do that by yourself.
I wouldn't talk to anyone.
You definitely already lied to me about Rook once, so...
What do you mean? When did I lie about her?
You said that you didn't tell your superior about her. And then it was very obvious that you did. So
I don't know if I ever
yet.
Admitted that. Did I say that?
No, but you were real cagey.
Yeah, you were real. Really.
You were pretty obvious about it.
Well, I'm not lying to you that I wouldn't speak to anyone or that I would come back if it was leading to a town square. I don't know why you think I'm lying now.
Trust issues?
Fair enough. I don't trust you necessarily. I don't really trust people either.
Looking up at the sky, do these clouds look like they're about to go away anytime soon?
No, they actually look like they're probably going to get worse, if you had to judge.
And Lou just points up. She's like, I don't think we should separate. I don't think that we have any good clues without talking to people, which is definitely one of the rules I'm pretty sure I remember. So, if we're going to go off book, we should all go.
I agree.
I really think I should just go, and I will come get you if it becomes a town square, because we just shouldn't all get lost in our way. If I didn't come back, you'd know it wasn't the right way, and then you should go the other way.
I just don't want to play with the idea that you're not going to come back.
How about I have no charisma? God damn. I don't know. I want to roll something because she's not going to give up. I'll roll.
I mean, I would say in this case, let's not do a roll. I think this is a case of like your friend saying like, well, we'll follow you. you can't really prevent them from following you, Tony.
Okay. So what's the plan? Are we just going to wait a little while longer for these clouds or are we going to go down this path?
Well, if we're going down underground, then I say we just book it, and then we'll be out of the rain. If you can call this shit rain.
It's Lisa Frank nightmare rain. Yep.
All right. So we start following the path that the cockroach couple took.
Yeah, so it was a couple different people that Aoife was listening to, and they have sort of passed on by, but now, Aoife, you can, like, kind of recognize where they were, and you're looking through the crowd and you are following after that path, and you take a turn and a turn and kind of following, trying to keep up with where you are. And very shortly, you find yourself in a kind of a different part of town, whereas everything before was really cute and manicured. Now these buildings look a little bit different. Everything is sort of disjointed, in disrepair. You're seeing a lot of fences around things, and the streets are now getting dirty with trash, litter. There are a lot less people around where you are, and the rain continues to hammer down from above, making it hard to discern what is coming from where in terms of sound. You find yourself at an intersection, and you're alone for the first time. You've lost sight of all these people that you've been following, and you're in this part of town. Again, everything in the wild is amplified by 10. So that feeling of when you're in a space that is maybe not safe, like when you're in an underground parking garage alone, or you're in this big open grassy field alone at night, that is amplified. Your senses are heightened. And I want to give you all a perception check with advantage because of that heightened sense.
18.
13.
16.
So then, Lou and Tony, you would notice, as something is suddenly very wrong as you feel a flash of motion. And you feel it, you sort of see it, something, a bluish blur that moves past all of you. And you're able to step out of the way in time of this. But Aoife, you feel this sharp pain as something grabs a lock of your hair and rips it from your skull. And you do not see what grabbed it or what happened. But Tony and Lou, you were able to step out of the way in time as these blue flashes sort of moved past you. And Aoife, as you are like bleeding and your hair is like ruined.
She screams bloody murder.
Yeah. You, Tony, Lou, Aoife, you hear a coming from these stacked boxes and dilapidated fences all around you as some kind of creatures has you cornered in this abandoned crossway. And that's where we're going to end for tonight.
Oh, God boy. Damn it.
Don't make me lose sugar. Man. If I lose sugar, I die.
I swear to God. I would say if you're fighting these things, you're not doing it on behalf of a sovereign fey court, to your knowledge. So.
That's true. Okay. We fighting.
We're fighting. Yay! Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us for episode 6 of Venture Maidens Campaign 2. Hope y'all had fun in Halloween Town for adults. How y'all doing? How y'all feeling?
It was fun, and then it got real not fun real fast.
Yeah, well, that's the fae.
Yeah.
It's complicated. Status always complicated with the fae. But thank you all so much for tuning in, for joining us. We have some donors to thank. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy it at all, if you smile, if you laugh, if you like one episode, if you come back for multiple episodes, please do consider heading over to our Patreon, where you can donate monthly or annually to support the show. We don't have any big funding coming in here. We're not officially sponsored in a long-term capacity, so your Patreon donations are the main way that we get income to make this show awesome and better and better all the time. So if you like it, head over to patreon.com/venturemaidens. You can check out all the fun rewards and stuff we give you, including whole extra podcast episodes of just bonus shows, show notes, all kinds of awesome stuff, new magic items, great stuff. So we want to thank some of those Patreon donors that light up our lives. So let's go ahead and go through. These are our $25 and up patrons. So I want to say thank you so much to Cody Becker at Cody Rolls for on Twitter.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Shout out to Muffin, the one on Drury Lane.
And thank you so much to Nisa McKinnon.
Thank you to Richie113 from our Discord server.
And Farrah's drinking mate, Ruby, thank you.
Yeah, so if you donate at the $25 or up level, you too will get a shout out on every episode of the Venture Maidens. Thank you so much. You make a world of difference to us. We really couldn't be doing the show at this capacity without each and every one of you. So thank you, thank you. With that, I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
I have been Katie, playing Luvera's Sath, your drow rogue.
I, Nassim, have been your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I'm Sage, and I am your screaming bard. Aoife Flannery.
That's it. That's the ball game. So until next time, everybody.
Venture!